with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You can get your tickets now for the Badges and Bravery 50-50 raffle. It's presented by Northtown Automotive. Guaranteed $10,000 jackpot while supporting the cause, which is most important here. Proceeds benefiting the Buffalo Police and Firefighter Arno Memorial Foundation. The drawing is February 1st. You can get in on it now at sabres.com/50-50. So much hockey last night and really incredible races across the league within divisions, wild card, all the rest of it. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is with us. And Shayna, we saw some very poor goaltending last night. We saw more goaltending injuries last night. So who needs a goalie? Who's at the front of the line right now for needing a netminder?
Oh, wow. Let's go Edmonton to start. Why not, right? Yeah, let's go the obvious. Let's just, like, let's hit them while they're down in the goalie department, because no one was rooting for a Tristan Jarry injury, but it just, the track record was so shaky in terms of injury. I think we all knew this could have happened. It happened way sooner than expected. And it's like, here's your issue. And Stuart Skinner's been looking pretty good in Pittsburgh.
Well, this is the thing.
Down the road from you in New Jersey, they let Markstrom in for 9. And now, like, can New Jersey add somebody there too?
No.
Well, maybe they should. They won't, but maybe they should.
But when you signed Jake Allen to a 6-year deal and you had to do it because, yes, I get you brought the AAV down, but then you give Jacob Markstrom a 2-year extension early when he's been inconsistent at best since coming to the Devils. And yes, he had really good stretches last year. I don't want to, like, you know, pretend he didn't. But I think at the end of the day, he's not playing at the level he was in Calgary and that we know he can be. So here's what, a 34-year-old goaltender you're signing early for 2 years? Great going there.
And just to put this into context and why we came out of the blocks with goaltending, Buffalo obviously still carrying 3. Ottawa just signing James Reimer to a tryout. Vegas already lost Aiden Hill earlier. Carter Hart got hurt again last night.
Edmonton, Montreal has 3.
Montreal's got 3. Edmonton, who you mentioned, is Edmonton, and yet they beat Winnipeg last night with the reigning MVP, who cannot win a game to save the Jets season because they've lost 11 in a row. So it doesn't matter whether you have the MVP and on. And the Ducks, of course, are here tomorrow. They're allowing 5 goals a game over the last 11 games. Shayna, it can sound tongue in cheek when we talk about goaltending, but who's to say who's good? And who knows what to do next? Like, I am legitimately sitting here asking this question, having no clue how it's all going to unfold.
Who is to say who's good, honestly? Because where you can call it parity, you could say it's a middling league. Two things could be true right now, right? And it really feels like that's happening. And you're seeing some teams, the goaltending can't save them. Jets, perfect example of that, because Hellebuck has not been the problem. It's the roster in front of him, right? Like, it's hurting them. Even you look at the Dallas Stars, they're a great contender. And I feel like Jake Oettinger has not been at his best this year either. So, you know, for some of the teams, the goaltending doesn't matter right now because it gives you a chance to look at your team and really figure out what you need to do in front of the blue paint to be good, right? So then when you get to the playoffs, you hope that everything can come together. And sometimes it does. We've seen that happen for Edmonton in seasons past, you know? Some of the situations, it's like, you know, the injuries or absences. So, like, Ottawa's in a tougher spot too because you do have a starting goalie. He hasn't been at his best this year, but we've seen Linus Ullmark be the guy when you need him to be. So it's like, just how much can you truly upgrade there? Or if you have a short-term injury, like in the Ducks case, like, what do you do in that situation? Like, your hands are kind of tied, so it makes it even more complicated.
The Nashville Predators have won 7 of their last 10. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And just knocking on the door, is Nashville going to make a push and somehow get in the playoffs in the Western Conference?
They could, because, like, they have no shot of getting into those top 3 seeds in the Central Division, but the wild card really is going to be open, and there's a lot of bed in the Pacific Division that's going to shake this up even more. I mean, you have Seattle in 3rd place right now. The Kings have struggled. The Ducks have hit their wall. The Sharks are still cooking, so there's room to make the playoffs in the West. I feel like it's something maybe like we didn't expect it to be as wide open, because a couple weeks ago it did feel like here are the good teams and then here's everybody else. And it still feels that way, but I guess it's just expanding more because Vegas has struggled as much as they are, and we know the Oilers are also flawed. So could they do it? Totally. Should they? That's going to be the bigger question here, because we saw it when they had their turnaround at that time. It was like, do you buy in at this moment, or do you say, you know what, there's the vision? And it felt like that turnaround pushed them to have such a big offseason. It hasn't aged well, and now they're here. So it's like, what do you do now? And they're in a really hard spot because look, Philip Forsberg and you know Roman Josi are great cornerstones to build mm-hmm. around. There's no question about it. And now that Stamkos and O'Reilly are clicking, and you have someone like Evangelista coming up, and he's been really effective too. You know that could sway your mind to go one way, but it's like, do you have the creativity to support this team properly? Because past moves have failed spectacularly so far.
The crazy part with Nashville is, and while he did win a low-scoring shootout game last night, this turnaround, if you will, has not been on the back of Saros. Mm-hmm. His goals against mm-hmm. has been pretty plain. But based on everything we just talked about with other teams and their goaltending, like at the start of the year, we were saying, oh my gosh, Nashville's going to be stuck with this Saros contract forever, and he's never going to get back to his level. Well, what if he does, with team success here, inch closer to his level, trick a few people into believing it, and then because there might be such a need at the deadline for a true number one, Saros' value is actually high compared to how we were talking about him in October and November?
That would be something. I like what you're getting at because I can see Saros getting back up to that level for sure, because we've seen it before. Even some of like his really good years, if you look at the season-wide numbers, they'll be amazing. And it's kind of like a half and half split of the year where it's not always across, you know, all 60 something of his starts because they play him a ton. If a trade were was going to happen though, I would bet on the off season because one, we don't see goalie trades happen very often in season. I think the cap going up this year will give teams the space, and you know, there's contracts to offload and situations like that. And it's tough. It's tough to move a goalie in the middle of the year. It really is. And I feel like the teams that do need a true number one are going to need that time to make the space for it.
Yeah, and tougher so in season for Nashville because obviously they did not intend to miss last year after reloading. And I don't think they would walk away from being a good team with Saros as a part of it at the deadline. I really don't. But you never know what somebody offers, right, in the pursuit of that. Marty, what else you got?
What else do I got? Toronto and Philly played a pretty like exciting 2-1 overtime game last night. Toronto's trying to make a push now. Philly's there. So like, which one of those two teams is more likely to say we are a true contender in the Eastern Conference?
I'm going to go Toronto, dare I say, because I think the Flyers have been smart about their patient approach. I feel like the one thing with Danny Briere so far is you're seeing they've been in playoff positioning before as the deadline nears, and they still go, no, we're going to stick to the plan. And I do respect that because I think we see it all the time where teams get blinded by recent results when they're not on that actual true trajectory, get blinded by it and then just like jump ahead, and it ends up burning them in the long term. So I think they'll stay patient. The Leafs, on the other hand, don't have a future outlook like that, right? Because they've been contending for this long and, you know, the pipeline is not stocked or anything like that. I think you have no choice but to either go for it or try to quickly retool. But like, it's one or the other, not both. And you have to like make that stand and make it sooner. This recent stretch where they're turning things around, you know, like they're 6-2-2 in their last 10. They're playing a little bit more exciting, which is something else after the start of their year. Maybe they go for it a little bit more. I feel like at this point, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like at this rate, could you make the playoffs? Probably, but will you do any damage in the postseason is going to be the bigger question. And I don't see them as a team that will step back and say, hey, we look like we could be the 3 seed, but we actually don't trust ourselves. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, they are 6-0-2 in the last 8. Hildeby was really good last night. You mentioned Pittsburgh earlier and the fact that Skinner's fit in and he's won 3 in a row, part of the Penguins 6-game win streak. I mean, even Boston, again, I mean, they've done this multiple times this year, lose 6 in a row. Now they've won 3 of the last 4, right? And these are the reasons why the Eastern Conference is so jammed and where Buffalo sits today, which is wild card 2, and everybody in our market talking about winning 12 of 13 and what's next, not just the next game, but the outlook for the Sabres, Shayna, between now and the deadline. What do you think they're going to do with Alex Tuch? And beyond that, would you see them as buyers now?
I need to see how the next few weeks go before I say they're buyers because everything's so tight in the East, right? And I think we've seen it before. I think about a team like Detroit. I think they've gone too cautious with it, but sometimes it's like, wow, this team looks like they're going to just make it and they still don't buy at the deadline. Kekalainen is completely different than Steve Yzerman, right? Because he is someone that takes those big swings. We've seen it. You know, you look at that, his time in Columbus, if there's an opportunity, he goes for it. But I think you still need a little bit of a measured approach with it. And I don't think it's going to be like, okay, they're two out of a wild card seed. Now you go all in, because realistically you have to think like, what's the plan here? I think with Tuck, you can wait out the situation. I think you have to wait out the situation because there aren't going to be a ton of top wingers on the market. And I think that teams with these players are going to have all the leverage. Like, say the Rangers decide to move a Panarin, or the Sabres ultimately decide to move someone like Tuck. We all know what the free agent class looks like next year. We all know there's only so many true top six wingers on the market. So you don't have to jump and worry that the best offer is going to wait. I don't think in this case, sometimes teams, like, they play their hand a little bit too long and it burns them. I don't think that'll happen in this case. So you can take your time to see what this team needs, what this team looks like, and go from there and see how the rest of the Eastern Conference develops around it. Because, like you mentioned, the Bruins, like, they're so inconsistent. Are they going to step back? Are they also going to buy? Once you start seeing what other teams' plans are, I think then you can, you know, operate accordingly.
Well, the Sabres did get in a wild card spot yesterday in the place of the Washington Capitals, who fell off. Now, in 2026, the Capitals have lost to Ottawa, they've lost to Chicago, and they've lost to Dallas, who have not been really good. And they beat the Anaheim Ducks, but again, as we documented earlier, Anaheim is not doing so well right now. Do you think Washington can recover, or are they like, you know, the Cinderella turning into a pumpkin type of situation?
I'm a little bit higher on the Capitals. Like, I can see them jumping into the Metro ahead of the Flyers right now. And some of that's because the Devils are yikes. And I don't think, you know, the Rangers at this point have a shot either with their injury situation. So for me, I look at that third spot and I go, it could be Washington that jumps over Pittsburgh. I think they have been one of the more interesting teams in the offseason, at the deadline. I think that their front office has done a really good job figuring out what they need and finding under the radar options. So I'm intrigued what they're going to do here, because I don't think they're totally cooked yet. Like, I think in this weakened Eastern Conference, they have a shot.
I don't think anybody is, and that may be hard to believe based on Ottawa dropping 5 of 7 and the Jackets again losing 3 in a row. But, like, out of those two that are sitting there at the bottom, who do you think would be first to make a big move?
I could see it's tough because you're going to go for, like, team tendencies, right? Mm-hmm. And team tendencies say probably neither one at this point.
Yeah.
You know, neither one of these teams is like this big swing taking the leap, but they also haven't been in a position where they should. Something about Columbus, though, I like. Can't explain it. There's just like,
they can't get healthy. They're never healthy. That's the
problem.
They're
the Columbus Broken Jackets. They got to stay true to their identity.
I mean, the reason I'm asking, because I feel like they are constantly tweaking to try. Like, they bring in Marchment. He gets points in 6 of the first 7 games. Now he's out week to week, right? Yep. Like, this is the poor luck that this team deals with.
Yeah, and even Werenski, you know, like, we saw him miss a couple games here or there. Lucky it wasn't anything more, because we've seen in the past him have injury issues as well. But, like, I look at them and I think they have a ton of cap space, they have a ton of assets, and I feel like that makes more sense to me than Ottawa, just because we don't know what's going on with Ullmark, and we don't know when he's going to return, because if they don't have him, I don't think there's any point in taking this giant swing, as much as he struggled this year, because it's not like anybody else is stepping up, and I don't think they're going to be a team that takes that, like, big goalie leap regardless. You know, I think we're seeing players like Shane Pinto prove they can be that second wave that this team was missing, and their second line is finding its footing, and I think Claude Giroux is really good. So maybe, like, you know, you punch up the forward group with one more addition, maybe add one low-key blue liner, and it's like, there's something there. I just don't know if they're going to be in the position to do it. It really all comes down to Ullmark.
I was saying to Duffer in the break, look, Connor McDavid is in the West. Nathan MacKinnon is in the West. Maclean Celebrini is in the West. Connor Bedard is in the West. And we're probably going to see Gavin McKenna in the West, the way that the standings are in the Western Conference really falling out. But it could be Winnipeg. Do you think Winnipeg is that bad that they are last in the NHL right now and they could stay there?
Yeah, they're that bad right now. It's gonna come down to the deadline. But again, this is not a team that's going to, like, buy their way out of trouble. I think we've seen that before, of, like, a projected contender taking a desperate swing to do it, even though they shouldn't. I don't look at the Jets and see that, because they have always taken a quieter approach. And it's part of the reason why they're here, right? Like, the Central Division is so tough because you're going to be measuring yourself constantly to the Stars and the Avalanche. They are the gold standard right now. Doesn't matter if they haven't won, but those are the teams that always come out of that division. You could take two approaches here. You could do nothing and say, well, we can't compete with them anyway, right? Like at the deadline last year, the Avs and the Stars were buying a ton and the Jets were like, okay, we're not, when they absolutely should have been. Or you could do what the Wild are doing, like, okay, you go for Quinn Hughes, you make that, you know, that leap and try to keep yourself in that race. The Jets have done the polar opposite. They lose Ehlers, they don't have a replacement. They have a center issue last year and they think Jonathan Toews is going to be the answer. They're shorthanded to start the year with injuries. They don't have anyone ready to step up either. So a team that struggled to score in the playoffs last year after having such a good regular season has just completely crumbled. So could they actually stay that low? I could see a Calgary or Vancouver sliding below them because I think they have more players to sell and they would take that more aggressive approach. But that, again, is another indictment on the front office for not doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done.
Next week, you will answer the question, what will Bill Guerin give up to acquire the other two Hughes from New Jersey to make his team what he hopes it would be for the stretch? Now, in all seriousness, Shanna, thank you, as always. Great to see you once again. Happy 2026. We'll see you next week. Of course, we are inching ever closer to the Ryan Miller Catwalk for Charity. It is a week away. It's presented by the New Era Cap Foundation, and it's at Babeville, Friday, January 16th. Tickets available at sabres.com/catwalk. Back after this.